Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
How group chat became the hottest thing in business communication.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And as business and technology continue to collide, as it often does, emerging as a key form of communication has become group chat. Because, and this is key, it brings together both people and multiple software programs. In fact, there's reason to believe that it can surpass artificial intelligence and the cloud as the next defining race among tech vendors. Joining us now with the very latest on this front is the Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims. Welcome back, Chris. So the chat feature, it's so funny how it's becoming the go-to source for communication for many businesses. That's certainly how the podcast team communicates. We IM all day. So we think it's great. We're with the program. But it may even be more essential than we realize. You say it's the next frontier, the next turf war for tech vendors. How did it become so essential?
So the way it became so essential was a little unexpected. It actually started with software developers who found that they could use chat to directly interface with, you know, any computers that they had to maintain or, you know, code that was compiling or whatever. And that kicked off this trend called chat ops, which is sort of finding an analog with non-technical, non-tech companies where folks are using chat not merely as an email replacement, but as a place to connect all of their other web-based software and also to, you know, direct all sorts of tasks. You know, a good example is integrating it with project management or just using chat for project management itself.
Yeah, that's funny because we had a tech issue this morning. We used the smartphone camera to film what the issue was, and it resolved the matter quickly in what could have taken hours.
Yeah, so a lot of these chat apps have a feature where you can switch over to video, which is pretty essential. Even if you're not using video, the point is that chat is what they call both synchronous and asynchronous. So an asynchronous communication method is like email. But chat, unlike email, can be synchronous. We can have this back and forth, just like you and I are having right now, with voice, but over chat. And the ability to kind of fluidly move between the two gives chat a lot of features that previous communication methods just didn't have.
And as far as workplace chat goes, the leaders in this world are HipChat and Slack, right? What did they do to lead the way in that space in the way that it does?
So interestingly, Slack started by accident. They were trying to build a game, and Slack was the internal communication tool.
Oh.
But we've heard this story before. That's the origin story for Twitter, for Blogger.
Yeah.
And, you know, HipChat, that comes from a company called Atlassian, and they started out building project management software for developers. And, you know, the developer community has had a group chat function called IRC forever. So for them, it was a pretty logical thing to attempt to bring to the masses. And, you know, these two companies, being early to the game, being extremely customer-focused, were able to get, you know, millions of customers without ever spending a dime on advertising.
Wow. And it's catching on so much so that, you know, the tech giants in this arena like Microsoft and Facebook, they recently joined the party with this feature, giving it even more street cred.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a big deal when Facebook and Microsoft show up. So
right.
Microsoft has incorporated group chat into Office 365. Obviously, that's a little more centered around, you know, creation of documents, et cetera. Facebook has their, it's called Workplace. It was originally called Facebook for Work.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just Facebook, but you can only connect with people who are in your workplace. Obviously, Facebook has a lot of its own chat features, and both of these companies got into the game because they saw the explosive growth of Slack, which is worth $4 billion, and realized, hey, you know, this is a serious piece of productivity and enterprise software, and, you know, we need to be there.
Yeah. Also interesting is, you know, because we tend to take technology for granted, and it's never more clear when something like Mother Nature comes into play and businesses grapple with outages and all that goes along with that. And the chat features are almost specifically made to come to the rescue in this case, like most recently with Hurricane Matthew.
Right. So one of the organizations that I interviewed is called Global Good, and they're a fundraising platform for charities. And this didn't make it into the piece, but one of the chiefs at Global Good told me that he talks to other, NGOs, nonprofit organizations in D.C. that deal with disaster response. And they say, you know, when something like this happens, it's a disaster, and it's hard to stay organized. And he asked them, well, what group chat platform do you use? And their response typically is, what is group chat?
Yeah.
I think when you need an immediate response, you need to coordinate a bunch of people. This kind of thing is absolutely essential. You see it also in organizations that have, you might call it everyday emergencies or just really fast-paced work environments. But, HipChat told me that they have a client that they run a hotel, and every single physical room in the hotel gets a virtual analog room inside of HipChat where they can constantly update the status. Has the room been cleaned? Are there any problems? Were there complaints? You know, what was the last call to guest services? Which also lets people scroll back and get a history on everything. This is another thing that's just true of chat in general, is that it's easier to jump in the middle of a conversation and catch up. Whereas with email, you know, there can be branching threads, and just reading threaded emails is a pain as it is.
Right.
So this is a much more user-friendly way to catch up.
Absolutely. And speaking to that, now, do you think this could even replace email? Are we getting crazy here? Are we getting too ahead of ourselves? Or is that a realistic scenario one day?
I think the way somebody put it was, you know, email is typically for paragraph-long responses and chat.
Okay,
you can do
yeah.
things with a single sentence. I think it's always going to be an and type of thing. Definitely when organizations go all in on chat, that can reduce their email volume, but that might actually make email more valuable, because then it's more like the way physical mail used to be. Oh, somebody sent me a letter. This must be important.
Right. Chris Mims, thank you as always for joining the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Journal's Christopher Mims. You can check out more of his stories at WSJ.com. Covers all things tech for the Journal. That wraps up this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.